You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Save big money when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior wood stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture. It repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life, 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It is the Early Line. We're live right here on Sports Grid on a Tuesday morning. I'm Kevin Wallstrom, joined by Donnie Wright. Ty, DRS, it's a big day here on the Early Line. How are we feeling?
Feeling good. Big comebacks last night in the NFL. Major League Baseball gets back to center stage today with 4 games. We're excited, and we are ready to go.
No doubt about it. We also have a season debuting today with a lot of stuff to get to. But as you said, last night, Monday Night Football, the Kansas City Chiefs hold off the Las Vegas Raiders 30-29. This is one of those games with about 7 different major talking points coming out of it. Patrick Mahomes, 4 passing touchdowns, all 4 going Travis Kelce's direction. Devontae Adams with a big game, 3 for 124. And 2 touchdowns, a 2-point conversion decision from Josh McDaniels. That was a bit surprising. A horrific roughing the passer call that momentarily looked like it was going to flip this game. A lot here, Donnie, to unpack.
Yeah, there is a lot to unpack. And also, let's keep in mind, too, break down this game a little bit more, but the 2-point conversion that you bring up here, most people say, okay, you got to be aggressive. You're on the road. You're trying to beat the Chiefs. With 5 minutes, were we under the assumption there that, let's just say, they get the 2-point conversion and that was the game over, like the Chiefs were going to drive down and only need a field goal in a game where a kid hit a 59-yarder already? That was very questionable to me.
Yeah, I actually think you could argue getting the 2-point conversion would have actively been bad. I know this will sound crazy, but for your chances to win the game, because now you have Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs going, okay, we don't have overtime in our back pocket. We have to go for it on 4th downs. Yep. And with the way KC was running, they weren't going to stop them, I don't think, under those circumstances. Yeah. A really, really fascinating game. Huge for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, though, to put another win up on the board as they have their date with Buffalo next week. And again, we'll talk about that in the Early Line segment coming up in hour number 2. Also, major news yesterday in the National Football League, Matt Rhule out. Donnie and I yesterday here on the show wondering when he would be fired. I thought maybe we were being a little bit ambitious to say that he would be done in 2 or 3 games. No more games left for Matt Rhule, fired, Donnie, here after just 5 weeks of football.
Yeah, couldn't find his quarterback there over his lifeline at Carolina. But also, you're right. Let's keep in mind, how many times do you have a coach, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 games into the season, you're already getting rid of him? That sounds like something you should have done in the offseason, or else you expected a monster year out of this football team. I don't think anybody else did at that point. But Matt Rhule's off on his own and $40 million richer for not even having to go to work.
To, I guess, be fair to the decision makers in Carolina, While this was not a roster set to compete for a Super Bowl, playing a number of games in your own building and hoping that Baker Mayfield could turn things around, and through the first 5 weeks probably seeing the worst quarterback play of Baker's career, was not going to help Matt Rhule's case. Oh, and by the way, Baker Mayfield now with a high ankle sprain and is going to be out a couple of weeks. Things in Carolina have completely fallen apart. We also have a big injury update in Seattle. Rashad Penny-Donnie out for the season, which is an unfortunate loss for the Seahawks, but could perhaps impact that rookie of the year market we so often discuss. Kenneth Walker now really should be a full go for that backfield.
Yeah, it's why I guess the Seattle Seahawks draft 9 running backs every single year. One goes down, yeah. One steps up, but you're right. In that market here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, you had a guy that finally got off last week and was like, you know what? I might be the starter or at least get major playing time the rest of the year for Walker. Keep an eye on that situation because Seattle can move the football, which means more chances in the red zone for more touchdowns as well.
Walker right now 16-1 to win that award at the 9th best odds. Our radio audience is live on a Tuesday morning. It's Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside on the early line on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159. We also still have some uncertainty around the Dolphins quarterback situation. The only thing that seems to be clear is that Tua Tagovailoa will not be an option for them this week. Waiting on word for Teddy Bridgewater. If both of those quarterbacks remain out, I assume, Donnie, it will remain Skylar Thompson getting the start for Miami against Minnesota.
Yeah, so one of the rules here, which is kind of interesting, even though he's in concussion protocol without a concussion, he has no symptoms, he claims he's fine, he can't even practice till Thursday. I do think Teddy Bridgewater will be the quarterback next weekend, but if you're not going to be able to practice until Thursday, you want to get those extra reps there with the first team. That should hinder the Dolphins. Tough scene here because no concussion, new protocols, you know, stay in this. The NFL's going a slippery slope right now, that's to say the least.
The once 3-0 unbeaten Dolphins off of a victory against the Buffalo Bills are currently catching 3 points in their own building against the Vikings this weekend. An interesting number, no doubt. As you also said off the top, Major League Baseball's divisional round will begin today. 4 games. We were waiting to find out the starter for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and it will be Urias who gets the ball, the -230 favorite for LA against their divisional rival, the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, heavy favorite there, and rightfully so. But I always love the fact here that they wait to the last minute when Urias came out and said, yeah, basically when the season ended, I was told I would be the game one starter. What were we hiding, Kevin? What were we hiding all along where, oh, my goodness, San Diego is going to be caught off guard?
They had no idea what film to watch yesterday.
Yeah, who's that
major
guy?
Major advantage goes San Diego or L.A.'s direction there. The NHL season begins today. Yes, today, not preseason, the real thing. The Lightning and the Rangers, the Kings and the Knights. We'll talk about those games. We also are 1 week exactly away from the NBA season beginning. Still preseason action going on. LaMelo Ball exiting early for the Charlotte Hornets with an ankle injury. A lot to break down. We go to Monday Night Football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Monday Night Football. Wow, did that deliver. The number of storylines that leaves Chiefs-Raiders is incredible. 30-29. DRS, I know you were up watching this one because it was a big game here in the AFC West. And one thing that did jump off, there's a lot, 30-29, the Chiefs win, there's a lot to get to. But the roughing the passer, you know, every single bit of post-game coverage you could find, the lead story was the Chris Jones roughing the passer play. For me, so many things happened from that moment to when the game ended. I was like, oh, yeah, that thing. It felt secondary. I guess I don't want to get so caught up and then circle back. So many people have been talking about the roughing the passer penalty. It could have made the difference in the game. It was an undeserved 3 points that went the direction of Vegas, potentially stopped Kansas City from getting 7 their own before half came to a close. Where are you at on the rougher the passing penalty, the decision, the state of the league, people mad now with the Brady stuff, plus this whole situation? Where are you at with this?
Yeah, and I can't understand why the referees come out after the game and just make stuff up. Like, oh, it's the letter of the law. Did you watch that play and thought that was the letter of the law? What is a big man supposed to do? Here's what the interpretation of the law is. The quarterback is standing in the pocket. I'm a 330-pound defensive tackle. I come up, pick the quarterback up, and body splash him with my full weight like Tony Siragusa used to do with the Ravens. That's been outlawed. If you thought that there was an intent to injure on that sack, I have no idea what sort of game you're calling, and these are supposed to supposed to be the best referees out there for football. That is a horrendous call, back-to-back off a horrendous call, equally horrendous call on Sunday.
And the tough part of this whole thing is, like, I saw some people over here like, wow, it's pretty interesting. With everything that happened with Tua, now we have people here asking for more violence in the National Football League. Nope, totally wrong. You have no idea what you're talking about. The Tua stuff, due to the fact that they had awful concussion protocol rules in place, one. Secondly, Tom's walking around fine. Derek Carr's walking around fine. These are not even vicious sacks at this point, because they are kind of adjusting the way they're hitting these quarterbacks. And it's not good for the game. Again, a just phenomenal football game overall when you look at the excitement, right, that we saw from Chiefs Raiders. To be led off with a roughing the passer penalty is not where we should be at. But again, that's been for a lot of people the main talking point coming out of this game. But what maybe should be the main talking point is the Kansas City Chiefs, well, they do it again. The Kansas City Chiefs, this run for this team that will last as long as Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are there together, I would tell people, is defined by the fact that no matter what the score is, they feel like they can go out there and win the game. And that was true in the lead up to the Super Bowl, the year after the Super Bowl, right? This game opened up 17-0 Vegas. And I would imagine, Don, to the most people's out there, reaction was not, oh man, the Chiefs are done. It was to go and hit the FanDuel Sportsbook and grab them some Chiefs money line, some Chiefs +3.5, and fire away. And they did. And it worked. Twice this year, the Chiefs have trailed by double digits. They're 2-0 in these football games. Patrick Mahomes just is inevitable. This team is out of zero games until the clock does hit zeros across the board. Just incredible, incredible stuff here from Kansas City to still win this game despite the slow start.
Yeah, it was. And I don't think anybody even panicked once they got down multiple scores. Ah, it's a long game. Yeah. They're at home. They'll get it together. And they did get it together. And also, I know there was probably some people out there like, ha, that's what you get. You trade Tyreek Hill. Now your offense stinks. Mm-hmm. Still not the case. You have Patrick Mahomes who makes play after play after play. And Andy Reid, as he likes to say, puts the players in the best position for them to succeed. You're right about that. There is no panic in the Chiefs because you know they're coming back. When's the last time you saw a Chiefs game out here, right, where the other team gets a 21-0 lead and the Chiefs just go into a shell and Mahomes is on the bench late third quarter because there's no chance they can come back. And they were coming right back at the half here. Now, granted, that crowd was really upset about that, you know, roughing the passer call. They were booing every single play, it seemed like, from like the four-minute mark until halftime until that happened. But by the way, big boost there for that team as well. That 59-yarder before the half sort of got them back into that game.
Oh, that was a monster kick, no doubt about it, made by Matthew Wright stepping in for Butker. And that was all kind of with the rough of the passer, the crowd, you could tell, legitimately had the refs kind of like, ooh, the whole thing. That was very, very real stuff. We'll get to the player-specific performances in just a moment, but there were a pair of two-point conversion decisions late in this game. The Chiefs, up 7, opted to go for 2, and I thought it was the absolute correct decision.
Loved it.
Patrick Mahomes is on the 2-yard line. If you convert that, you're up 9, ball game. Simple as that. And if you're Kansas City, right, you're not necessarily in a world, you know, the Ravens, right? Hey, Justin Tucker will make anything. You are on a not only second string kicker, but now your second string kicker, as Amendola obviously flamed out for your football team trying to replace Butker. If we're up 9, we win, ball game over. You said you love it, so we don't have to spend much time on it. Vegas' decision to go for 2? Impossible to understand. As you said, there was over 4 minutes left in the game. Why? That was a move made by Josh McDaniels and the Raiders that kept saying, momentum, momentum, momentum. You were up 17-0, man. There's no momentum here that all of a sudden would have had that Kansas City crowd and that Kansas City offense going like, psh. Man, I don't know what we're going to do. What they would have done was march right down the field and probably scored a touchdown, if we're honest here, Donnie. I cannot believe that Josh McDaniels went for 2 in that moment. He was lucky enough that Mahomes and the Chiefs didn't convert their 2-point conversion, and to give them that gift right back was just unimaginable.
Yeah, the Chiefs at home don't need too much time. All you have to do is go back to the playoffs last year when they take on the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. But you're right about this. If we're looking at a scenario where it's at the end of the game, you punch one in with 31 seconds left to go on the clock, you're down one, they go for two and get it, you say, all right, you're going to need some sort of a miracle here for the Chiefs where they got to complete four or five passes. You know, who knows how many timeouts they have at that point. And then they have a kicker that they're not used to being in there. Now, granted, he'd already did make a 59-yarder, but he missed one earlier in the game as well, where you're saying to yourself, all right, well, let's see how this one plays out. That I would agree with. But if you get the two-point conversion, you didn't win the game. You're right. The Chiefs still have the football, and then you probably turn them into four-down territory at that point. You have no question. It's not as if you're, you know, up seven, you want to make it nine, like if the Raiders, oh, I don't know if they should have done that. No, absolutely. I loved what the Chiefs did going for their two, but I question the Raiders one. I like the aggressiveness. Don't get me wrong. I just think it didn't have a bearing other than you didn't get it, and you cost yourself the football game.
Yeah, I see it similarly to you. And for Josh McDaniels, this has been a really tough opening five games here with the Vegas Raiders. I don't think McDaniels is fired after 1 year, but this is a group that had playoff aspirations, were in the playoffs last season, and 1-4 is going to be really difficult to come back from for this team overall. We're going to talk Chiefs-Bills to start hour two, and we can then talk about Mahomes and the MVP race a bit more. Travis Kelce last night, 7 catches, 25 yards, 4 touchdowns. A very bizarre, historic stat line, the fewest yards we've ever seen from a player with 4 passing or receiving touchdowns in a game. But as I watch this year, Donnie, and I'm someone who believes that Mahomes is not just the best quarterback in the league, but a literal all-time great already. Travis Kelce, if you line them all up, I think he's probably the best tight end that's ever played in the National Football League.
It could be. It really could be. And I know it's a little bit different of a more passing league now, where maybe back in the day, tight ends had to really stay in line and block and sort of fit in where they get in at this point. But you don't have much argument from me. I mean, the Tony Gonzalez's that reshaped it, obviously the Antonio Gates, those athletic tight ends that come in. It seems like Kansas City and Kelce are in that perfect storm where you have a dominant tight end, a dominant play caller, and also a dominant quarterback. Works in his favor really well.
Just a phenomenal, phenomenal performance. 7 touchdowns now for Travis Kelce this year. Just the receiving touchdown leaderboard, right? Travis has 7. Stephon Diggs has 5. Everybody else has 4 or less. So he matched the entire league in one game, Kelce. Outrageous. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Monday Night Football delivered last night a 30-29 victory for the Kansas City Chiefs. A Raiders cover. Game goes over the number. There was also some very big news yesterday as we saw the first head coach of the year to be fired, which was Matt Rhule, just 5 games in to the Carolina Panthers season. The Carolina Panthers opening 5 games was going to always define their season. Not the easiest set of games, but 4 of them were in their own building. The Cleveland Browns and Jacoby Brissett, they were close, but they lost. They played Daniel Jones and the 4-1 New York Giants. Close, but a loss. They pulled the upset over the New Orleans Saints, and maybe now they could figure something out here. Grab one of these next two. Incompetent Cliff comes in, double digits in your own building, and then you get absolutely embarrassed by the San Francisco 49ers. And upper management saying that the most concerning thing is it just didn't look like there was fight within this team. It didn't look like the effort was there with this team. And to some degree, who could blame them? Everybody knows that Matt Rhule essentially was a dead man walking for this job, unless Carolina pulled out a miracle. Baker's playing the worst football of his career. Oh, wait, he's injured now. We'll expand on that in a moment. But this is a Carolina team that needed to find a way to go 3-2 in their first 5. They're 1-4, and now Donnie will be looking for a new head coach this offseason.
Yes, and I don't think anybody's surprised at this point. The only surprise was how early in the football season that it came, because if you take a look at the schedule here for them, Cleveland, first game, 26-24. Remember how that game ended? like a 60-some-odd yard field goal, 59-yard, I think it was, from Cade York, the rookie for Cleveland, which won that. How about the Giants game? I bet we forget that they were up a touchdown late in that football game and blew that one 19-16. New Orleans was a nice win. Hey, building off your platform here, where then you show up with back-to-back games, Arizona and San Francisco, you got to take at least one of those. And you're right. You'd have a winning record probably after five games at this point. But you know what, Spurs change quicker than bad play on the field? When you play at home, the opposing team's fans take over your stadium and are actively taunting your football team. You get fired on Monday mornings when that happens. That's basically what owner David Tepper said. Say, hey, we had a sellout crowd there, but way too many of that sellout crowd was actually the opposing team's fan base, which means where's the fervor in town for my football team? How do you have a team? I could see, Kevin, right? If you have, let's just say, the Giants and the Eagles, the Commanders, the Eagles, whatever, Jets and the Giants. You say, all right, well, it's a short corridor here where maybe they're paying and they can easily get to the game. We're talking about thousands of miles away, and the opposing team is taking over your stadium. And early in the season, Kevin, this isn't post, like, you know, we're close to Christmas where you're like, hey, if I can make a couple bucks on my tickets for Christmas and pay, like, for presents for my kids, as opposed to watching this stink on the field, let's do that. It's way too early in the season. The conditions are way too nice. This is when people like to go to games, and it was taken over by the 49ers. It had to happen, and it did happen.
For Carolina, we could talk about potential candidates for this job, right? Kellen Moore, Byron Leftwich. But this is, I think, going to depend a lot in terms of who makes sense for this team, probably as far as where they land in this upcoming draft. The Panthers don't have the most enticing roster, I think, at the moment to lure the top candidates on the board. Now, I don't know how much competition they'll necessarily have. I don't think this is a league right now littered with obvious to-be-fired candidates. Some people think that the next coach to be fired is Cliff Kingsbury. He literally was given an extension this offseason. That's something I struggle to see. But if Carolina is picking in the top two, and a Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud are on the board for you, then all of a sudden this could become a little bit interesting. Because, Donnie, there is no world in which this team's quarterback next year is going to be Baker Mayfield. The play was horrific, and he is now injured and going to miss, I don't know, maybe a month of football. And I think, unfortunately for Baker, the window is closed on his opportunity to be a starting quarterback here in the National Football League. Who knows what happens where you land on a team, you're a backup, a guy gets injured, okay, maybe you break out. I get you, but I do not think we will be having a conversation about who's going to give Baker a shot next offseason. Baker lands somewhere as a backup quarterback at best.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And I don't know if these are like let's just say, onion type articles out here. But I didn't watch the press conference in full. But there are some quotes out here where David Tepper is basically saying that Baker is our guy. And we're going to look forward to, I guess, him trying to, you know, unlock his potential, and who's he going to bring in? I can't believe that that was even a comment yesterday. So I'm going to have to do some more research on that overall. But I think you're right here. You have to clean house. If you're bringing in a new coach, let's just say, and we might be going over some candidates here in just a few moments, so I don't want to burn any of those just yet. But a new coach comes in. That's a new regime. Do you know what most of the time they like to do, Kevin? Pick their own guys. And if you're really bad, right, 2 wins on the season, 3 wins on the season, you're drafting in the top two. Is Baker Mayfield going to go, what are you kidding me? I'm the quarterback here. You can't draft a guy 1 or 2 here. No, the reason we're bad is because you're our quarterback. Understand that. We're trying to move on and rebuild this thing. So I don't think that's going to be a case where Baker Mayfield comes back next year to the Carolina Panthers. And who knows who can rebuild his career? Because does Baker Mayfield, he's such a, I don't want to say like a swashbuckler per se, right? Where he needs to be the lead dog out here. I'm the leader of the pack. Could you see him in a backup role? It just doesn't even fit his MO. He just seems like that alpha, but just can't lead his team to victory. But how could you have him just as a backup quarterback at that point? I don't even know.
Well, he doesn't have much of a choice. I mean, is really the answer. He was, yeah, I understand he was supposed to be an alpha, but he's awful now. I mean, so it doesn't really matter. Gardner Minshew's an alpha. Knocking on Nick Sirianni's door, hey, can I be the starting quarterback of this team? And they tell him to hit the bricks. Now, and by the way, as far as Baker Mayfield goes, you know how much money Carolina owes Baker next year? None, zero. He's an unrestricted free agent. So, I mean, they can say whatever they want, but Baker Mayfield, again, if Baker's back in Carolina next season, it's, hey, we don't want to start our, you know, maybe the Panthers will do the awful thing the Steelers did, where they start a really bad quarterback for the first 4 weeks, waste your season again, and then you can put the significantly more talented rookie in, and Donnie be like, hey, good job letting veteran Baker Mayfield steady the ship for the first month of this season. We can get, I do want to get to the trade conversations that we're hearing.
Yeah.
But yep. If you look at the upcoming schedule here for Carolina, just in terms of how bad things could potentially be getting, right? You're now catching double digits this week against the Rams. Interim head coach Steve Wilks, PJ Walker is going to be your quarterback for the foreseeable future. Then it's the Bucks the following week. Doesn't look great. You're at Atlanta. You'll be a dog. At Cincinnati, probably catching a touchdown in that spot. Falcons at home, that's like the prayer. At Baltimore, good grief. Home against Denver. I mean, the look for me right now, Donnie, it's like, obviously, who knows what teams are healthy by the time we get there, but Carolina might, to me, feel like the favorites for the number one overall pick. I guess it would be them or the Texans, but I think I might lean Carolina right now due to how messy this all is.
And it looks like you're probably right at this point. And yesterday, the owner did talk about, you know, in the press conference, you know, it's about winning football games. They have to win games. Well, you have to say that because the NFL leadership, including Roger Goodell, is watching that press conference where if you answer the question, what's your goal this year? To absolutely stink now and clean house to make sure we get the top overall pick. He can't say that, right? So you got to put on the best face. Now, you're always going to try to win. The interim head coach, Wilks, he's not going to go in there and say, well, I got direct, you know, narrative to actually tank football games. That's not going to be the case. You know how that works here? Hey, coach, you're going to be the coach the rest of the year. We got to get a lot of looks at players out here. Hey, we want you to win and put your best foot forward. Okay, cool. Sounds good. Hey, you just traded away my top two wideouts. The next week, he gave away McCaffrey. Our defense doesn't look that good. You just traded Burns. I expect you to win football games. That's the way we're playing in here. I don't want to hear any back talk anymore out of this. Isn't that the way you play it out as an owner at this point? You slowly strip this thing down and say, we tried our best. We worked hard. We were a professional organization. We only got one win out of 17 games. What did you want us to do here? And then you move on.
That is the way this likely goes. And it sets up perfectly to the conversation around what this team is going to do with some of their star players. Twitter, all of a sudden, was able to get some buzz around the fact that the Buffalo Bills were banging the door down in Carolina to bring in Christian McCaffrey. Uh-huh. That was pretty quickly shot down, though, by some of the lead reporters. And it seems as if the main reason is Carolina's already paid McCaffrey a lot of his money. If they were to trade Christian McCaffrey, right, Donnie, you would think that it would not just be about, hey, look, we got a third-round pick, let's be excited. It'd be cleaning the books up a little bit. My understanding of the situation is that it doesn't even financially make sense to trade Christian McCaffrey. Maybe a DJ Moore. I'm sure people call on Brian Burns, as you've mentioned. But unless Ian Rappaport has it completely wrong, I'm kind of thinking Christian McCaffrey is in Carolina for at least the rest of this season.
It doesn't make sense for that, though, overall, right? This is a guy that you want to maybe to move on. You want to get some compensation for. The last thing you want the guy to be is hurt, which it tends to be hurt over the past couple years. But also, when you're taking a look at the following year, Kevin, if it's a rebuilding mode, do you know why? It's not that you already paid him money. You still have extenuating, you know, dead cap hits, which you're going to take once a player moves on. And it looks like you might just lump them all into next year. So you move McCaffrey this year. You accelerate it from this year into next year. Maybe his contract is completely off the books at the time. Similar to what Carson Wentz did with the Eagles. It's like, wow, we ate so much money and you had a dead cap year and then you move on. The Carolina Panthers aren't going to be good this year. They're not going to draft number one overall and be very good next year either. You might as well get all this cap stuff out of the way this year and next year and then move forward with your franchise.
Yeah, and it was Pelissero who had that information, not Rappaport, saying that the Panthers have not had trade talks with the Bills or any other team. They've already paid most of his $8.6 million salary and a bonus. Every team will be calling within the next few weeks, but nothing in the works with the CMC. Maybe things change, but again, it doesn't seem like it would make a lot of financial sense for Carolina, though maybe they do not really care about that. All right, that's Carolina Panthers situation. Up next, in or out, NFL make miss playoff odds.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
back with you here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh with Donnie Wrightside. I want to look at some really interesting teams whose numbers in the make-miss playoff market, you know, if I would have told you preseason where these numbers sit through five games, would catch people by surprise. We start with the Los Angeles Rams, currently holding a 2-3 record, an offense that has mustered up 19 points over their last 2 weeks of football. Matthew Stafford has one passing touchdown over his last 3 weeks of football. The Rams, though, still favored to make the playoffs. They check in at a minus 132 price. The miss is plus 116. Donnie, in or out, Los Angeles Rams, what do you think of these odds?
I'm going out on this, and I hope this, you know, sort of structure at the FanDuel Sportsbook stays up for at least one more week, because they're going to beat the Carolina Panthers, and you're probably going to get a better price to miss the playoffs. And the reason I say that, let's take out the Carolina Panthers, which I expect them to win this weekend. Then you're going to take on the San Francisco 49ers. It's at home. You can't beat the Niners in the regular season. It's clear. You can't. That's probably going to be a loss. At Tampa, then you take a look at the Cardinals at home, who, oh, by the way, at that point, you know who's going to be back? DeAndre Hopkins. That offense might be in full swing. Then you're going to take on the Saints on the road, who are going to be much healthier at that time as we anticipate. Tough game. At the Chiefs, tough game. Seattle Seahawks, which is usually an easy one here, but look how well that offense is playing. They might fight you down the line. The Raiders are a quality ball club. We'll see where they are at that point in the season. At the Packers, the Broncos at home, we'll see where they are. At the Chargers, at the Seahawks. They're out. They're out of the play. I don't see 10 wins, which I'm trying to equate, like 9 might get you in here, but I'm trying to look at 10 wins. I don't see it on this. I just don't see it. And if you ask me before the season, playoff team for the Rams, absolutely. Right now, I don't see it.
Yeah. If you before the season, no questions. Yeah. I would have expected the Rams to make the playoffs. And going through the schedule, I knew we were always going to do that during this conversation here. But I also want to talk about how we evaluate the NFC as a whole. Don, if I told you, right, from a power ratings perspective, I put in front of the Los Angeles Rams, the Eagles, the Bucks, the Niners, the Cowboys, the Vikings. That would be five teams right there where all of a sudden, if you're the Los Angeles Rams, you're looking around like, whoa. Oh, and the Green Bay Packers, by the way, actually.
Yeah.
So that's six teams right there. What's the argument point, right? You can't tell me you like the Rams over the Eagles, Bucks, or Niners, I don't think, with a straight face right now. Dallas just embarrassed them with a backup quarterback, right? So then it's all of a sudden like, oh, Green Bay's terrible, but look, Green Bay's still 3-2, and they're going to find a way to win double-digit games. We know that. And Minnesota's one of the biggest favorites right now on the sports book to make the playoffs. My point is, a world where the Rams are the seventh best team in the conference is very concerning. Because, as you said, now it's you can't even go, oh, look, we're way better, we have to get there. They run into the, oh no, the Giants are 4-1. We're not going to get into the Giants kind of odds today because we did this a lot last week, I think, Donnie. But the Giants are, I think, going to win 9 games. Maybe more, but at least 9. To where it's not even about how good you think the Giants are. The schedule sets up. So if it's going to take 10 wins, as you said, for the Rams, that's going to be a real turnaround that they're going to have to accomplish. And if this team misses the playoffs after winning the Super Bowl, like Aaron Donald retires, like Stafford's like, I don't know. Like we've got McVay calling games for 14 networks all of a sudden. Like this would be a really damning season if this goes the trajectory that which it's on.
It really would be, because when we were taking a look at like the salary cap era, right? Back in the day, you could pay teams whatever you wanted to. It's why the Dallas Cowboys were so dominant in the 90s. Jerry Jones said, I have an open checkbook. I'll pay everybody to come here. We'll win and we'll have some fun. And then once the salary cap came in, Dallas is nowhere to be found in Super Bowls because you have to manage. You have to overcome your mistakes. The reason I bring this up is you take a look at the Rams. Now, it's obviously there's an advantage put in now in the NFL. If your owner has deep pockets, he can pay whatever he wants in signing bonuses and just kick the can down the road. If we remember back in 2000, the Ravens team, which was so good on defense. I believe they beat the Giants in the Super Bowl. They had to dismantle like their entire football team, the same thing that the Raiders did when they had good ball clubs in the early 2000s because they couldn't manage the cap. Everybody came back. Everybody came back, including the coach, defensive lineman, and also you're talking about adding guys like Allen Robinson. Everybody who wanted a contract got a contract sky high. This was one of those, hey, man, it's got some happy vibes in the building. You want to talk about a team that can make another run. They're ready to go this season, and it just hasn't worked out. And Allen Robinson getting like two or three targets a game for 10 yards seemingly is that's where this offense is sputtering. You expected Allen Robinson to come in on the outside and be like, wow, he's going to get one-on-one coverage and feast because you have to triple team Cooper Kupp over the middle. You know, running back situation, explosive, lineman, fine. Matthew Stafford coming back and paid. Maybe he can even be an MVP. Nothing has worked early here for the Rams.
And one interesting note from their Monday night game against the Niners, past week or, 2 weeks ago, was McVay said, yeah, of course we want Odell back, but we have to be good enough that Odell wants to play here, which is some self-awareness, but is also a reality. The reason that Odell Beckham Jr. is not signed with the team is not because there aren't offers out there, as the Rams have his locker still open. But what Odell is not going to do is say, look, man, I'm loyal to this Rams team in November if they're sat there with no chance to make the playoffs. And McVay's been very open about that. So don't just get, Odell will show up and that'll fix things. Which, again, what an interesting thing to say based on the way people initially reacted to Odell showing up. So that's one half of last year's Super Bowl. Things don't look great. The other half of last year's Super Bowl, same ugly 2-3 record for the Cincinnati Bengals. Plus 102 to make the playoffs, Donnie, a minus 116 to miss. I'll start here, though, by saying I think the plus 102 is pretty appetizing. The Cincinnati Bengals find only four teams with better odds than themselves to win the AFC. Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Chargers. The schedule, which I know you'll go through, I don't think is all too damning. And I do still believe there's plenty of talent here. I know they didn't cross the finish line against Baltimore, but they covered on a light line, showing that they could be competitive on the road. I still think Cincinnati makes one of these seven spots here in the AFC, and a plus price would cash.
And the reason why it's about that 50-50 price is you actually have a tough game here against the Saints coming up this weekend. Let's take a look at the football team overall, Kevin, 2-3. They slipped to 2-4. Man, that is tough to get off because basically you're asking them to win at a much, much higher clip than what they've been doing over the first couple games and also repeatedly stay healthy the rest of the way and everything goes in your direction. Now, if you beat the Saints, you're going to get the Falcons at home the following week. That should be 2-0 there if you can handle that. The Browns, the Panthers, that should be an easy one. At the Pittsburgh Steelers, who looks like they probably won't win another football game this year the way it's going for them, Tennessee Titans. So the schedule is manageable. But I got to tell you, as much as I just said, like, well, you want to take a look at this team's, you know, next game up here and you want to fade them if they beat them, similar to what I'm talking about with the Rams. This feels like if they lose to the Saints, I don't know if they, and you can't do that because there's a lot of football still left to go, but 2-4 after a loss to the Saints, I don't like to see what their actual numbers would be following that. Now, do I expect them to beat the Saints? They'll be in it. It's a close line. We don't know technically know he's going to be the quarterback for the Saints this weekend. But it feels like all or nothing. Beat the Saints this weekend, you make the playoffs, lose to them. I don't think you get in. So if I'm going to ask me right now, do they get in their playoffs? I still think there's enough talent on the Bengals where they pull it together and make it into the playoffs. Yes, but they got to beat the Saints this weekend. They do.
It's an interesting point, right? The Dalton revenge game, I guess, angle will be live in a big way. But if you agree with DRS, which I think I might as well, Cincinnati is a minus 126 favorite on the money line. So instead of tying up money for a long while, on a plus 102, you just bet them to beat the Saints. And if they lose and you still like them, maybe you get 2-1 for them to make the playoffs and things feel a little bit better. There's another interesting team I wanted to bring up here, right? The Rams, divisional favorite, Cincinnati, they won the AFC. A divisional favorite, Indianapolis Colts, who have put forward some of the most disgusting football my eyes have seen through the first 5 weeks of the season. This team is terrible, but they are 2-2-1 in a very bad division, a division that is predictably bad. Minus 126 favorites to make the playoffs in Indianapolis, a plus 110 price on the miss. In for Indy?
I mean, is there any question at this point? Now, as you said, starting out this conversation with the Indianapolis Colts, that's a bad football team. It is. Do you know why they even have a couple wins? Head coach Frank Reich, man, they put in making the right decisions out there, carrying this team with no talent, and they're going to get into the playoffs here. Now, Let's take a look at their schedule coming up. You should be able to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. You got smashed 24-0. This should be a revenge game at home, and you should be getting one of the more talented players in football, Jonathan Taylor, back into that lineup, which then sends you on the road to the Titans, followed by the Commanders, the Patriots, who knows, at quarterback. I think you can make up some ground here. Now, the reason is, if you're asking me, like, if the Colts played, let's just say, in the NFC East or the NFC West, just to give two of those divisions where it's going to be tight and you have tough teams every week and you probably got to win 11 or 12 games to take that division down, that's not going to be the case here. But the simple fact is they're always going to be an option to make the playoffs while playing in this division if they hang around 500. So if we're trying to take a look at that short price to make the playoffs, it's not necessarily being in love with the Colts and what they bring to the table. It's just looking around that division going, you know what? Regardless of disaster happening, with 2 to 3 games left in the season, you're going to have a legitimate chance to still take down this division. That's why I would say yes here. And also, when you have one of the better coaches in the league, Kevin, you got to back that team. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and I mean, he's done a really nice job of putting that on display in essentially zero capacity, set to be an offensive genius. We've not seen Matt Ryan look this bad, perhaps, ever in his career. Completion percentage dropping, tied for the league lead in interceptions. This team has 2 wins this year, one against Kansas City, where the Chiefs had about 4 unimaginable special teams mistakes, and then they benefited from Denver making awful decisions and Russell Wilson apparently having just zero comprehension of the quarterback position. The reason we're even talking about the Colts right now was because they've been gifted a pair of wins. The conversation in Indianapolis today, if not for some very fortunate bounces, is when does Frank Reich join Matt Rhule and nothing else? I cannot bet this team to make the playoffs when they've proven pretty straightforward they're a bad football team with a bad quarterback. And here's the other fascinating thing about it. Well, they're going to make it because the division is bad. Well, they're not even first place in the division. That belongs to the Titans, who beat them in their own building. They're not as good as the Jaguars. We saw that. That game was 24-0 as well. And they played the Texans and tied them. They've looked like the worst team in the division. They've looked like the worst team in the division.
Look, when you beat Mahomes and Russ, I mean, that sounds like a pretty good football team to me, K-Dub.
And at some point in your life, you will take one of these conversations serious. It's just obviously not today. We'll slip in the Arizona Cardinals quickly because I find their numbers quite fascinating. It's a monster price to make the postseason at a plus 280. These other numbers are all very close. I bring it up for this reason. Arizona right now sitting here at a 2-3 record. They've won all of their games on the road. They've lost all of their games at home. Well, they're on the road. They lay 3 to the Seattle Seahawks. And then DeAndre Hopkins is back, Donnie. I think you're getting a bit of value here on Arizona. They need to beat Seattle, but 3-3 with Hopkins back, they could be off to the races.
This is a really, really tough schedule all the way down. And how about this during the Eagles game where they said they haven't won, talking about the Cardinals, in over a calendar year at home with that collapse. That's disastrous. You got to win at home here. I'm going to fade them a little bit, but I told you before, the team total for that team week to week to week, keep an eye on that one. They're going to score points.
Certainly we'll keep our eye on that. Quick break. The early line continues right after that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick segment here before we hit hour number 2. We want to give you a little reminder in case you're unaware. The NHL is back in a major way. Technically, the games have already been played, but 1, they were in Prague, and 2, legitimately, nobody knows that those games happened. At some point, like, the NHL actively maybe doesn't even want people to watch their product, but it is back. The Avalanche enter as your favorites for the Stanley Cup Trophy at plus 450. Decent gap between the next closest teams, which would be the Carolina Hurricanes and the Toronto Maple Leafs, at 10-1. 2 games in action tonight, Donnie, as well. The Rangers and the Lightning. The Rangers, a slight minus 115 favorite against Tampa Bay, who eliminated them in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Kings and the Knights in LA, a minus 113 number for LA at home.
Yeah, here's what I like tonight, too, is instead of taking a side or a total in a game, sometimes we used to tack back on our in-play sports tonight, you know, tandems. we used to have some fun with picking guys to score a goal because you get a nice market here. Anytime touchdown market, similar, but even a little bit higher. Braden Point coming back tonight here for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Missed a lot of last year. Torn quad. Looks like he's set up and ready to go. So I'm going to go with Point to score a point. But that point, Kevin, has to be a goal tonight. I think he gets it done.
All right, there you go. I think we will be getting at least one boost somewhere, probably for Rangers Lightning, but maybe in both games, maybe across the board, which will be interesting to see. I'm tempted by the over in the Rangers Lightning game. It's 5.5. I understand it's Shostakin, it's Vasilevsky. I got you, but it's early season. Maybe they're not as sharp between the posts there, which will be interesting. Couple of other notes for you on the FanDuel Sportsbook season special. Which team will Alex Ovechkin score his 800th career goal against? The favorites in that market, the Winnipeg Jets, at a plus 650. And as far as your favorites for some hardware to win the Hart Trophy, the MVP, let's just call it the MVP trophy. You're not better than people. Connor McDavid, your favorite, at a plus 260 price. The NHL is back. I am sure you will be covered greatly in this with game time decisions later on today. We go to week number 6 in the NFL.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.